Ladies and gentlemen, the Elimination Chamber is upon us, and for once, AEW was actually good this week. This is the Dangerous Jobbers Podcast.
People have been asking me to be the best in the world. Why, Eddie, why?
I'm better than you.
My eyes are red out in the back smoking a joint with Van Damme.
Yo, ladies and gentlemen, it is your boy Stevie Jobber.
And it's your boy Dangerous Duke.
And we are back, the Dangerous Jobbers Podcast, putting wrestling over one podcast at a time.
Yes, sir.
And we are back with our first weekly episode in a minute. We've been doing a lot of dark matches, but this one is special. We got the Elimination Chamber coming up.
Perth.
Yep, Perth. And we got some Perth predictions for you. But first, we got to hit the wrestler of the pod. This week has been Valentine's Day. You know, Valentine's Day came up, and this week is not about accolades. It's about it's about love, man. Specifically, the wrestler of the pod, Love Doug. Spread the love.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Everybody need a little love
for three main reasons. Because it's Valentine's Day. Because this is our show and we can do what we want. And because they just had an MLW live YouTube pay-per-view where he had a Lumberjack and Jill match against Brett Ryan Gosling. And even though he didn't get the victory, I felt like he spread a lot of love.
Yeah, you got to spread some love, man.
So wrestler of the pod this week is Love Doug. And as I said in the beginning, guys, AEW was actually pretty good this week. I only watched Dynamite, I'll be honest with you. I'm not watching Rampage and Collision wasn't on this week. I only watch Dynamite. But listen, one show a week for me is enough. At least until we figure out where we're going with all of this. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but that's only natural.
That's only natural, man. And so I wanted to come to you guys with just some really good points. Because for the first time, I'm very excited to talk about AEW this week. Mm-hmm. Joe was champ. Joe had the triple threat match promo, and I'll admit at the beginning, like, I wasn't really sure what they're doing with the Swerve and Hangman thing because it felt like they were running it an umpteenth time for no reason. But there's a twist on the dynamic that I appreciate. Swerve beat him twice already, but he couldn't beat him in the match to qualify as number one contender. And Hangman Page, instead of being his normal brash cowboy self, was actually kind of doing it in a douchebag way. Because they ran out the time and he wouldn't allow him extra time because that means he didn't beat him. So now they're making it a triple threat. They spent the promo coming down each other's necks. And Joe was like, y'all not about to Shawn Michaels and Triple H me out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming in there and I'm whooping both of y'all and I'm walking out champ. And I'll be honest with you, I think that's exactly how it's going to go. Unfortunately for Swerve, Hangman just will not get out of his way. They started the night with John Moxley versus Dax. I don't know that it really had a meaning to it, but it was a good match. You know, it was a great match. They kissed each other. That was, you know, it's Valentine's Day, whatever. whatever kind of spark.
Spreading that love.
The Undisputed Kingdom was good. Wardlow came out, super bombed some guy, looked very over. For once, I called it capturing lightning in a bottle twice. Because for once he came out there and when he stood on the ropes, it felt like this guy could be something again. Mm-hmm. So he could still get his Batista moment. And if things play out perfectly, Adam Cole will be a perfect Triple H to his Batista. And instead of handing the title over to him, he'll powerbomb him to hell once he's cleared. And that'll be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Christian and Adam are still doing their thing. Adam had a match against Danny Garcia. You know, it went well. You know, I don't really count this part of Edge's career. It's really more part of Christian's career at this point. But Christian came out, concertoed him. That was, you know, classic heel Christian. I mean, you can't get enough of douchebag Christian. He's the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
Tony Storm did a cool thing with Deonna Purrazzo. Apparently, we might be getting Punk Rock Tony Storm back. I like Marilyn Monroe, Toni Storm. I like this gimmick, but if she brings it back for a match or two, I'm cool with that. I don't expect Deonna Purrazzo to just show up and beat her. I think they're probably saving that for somebody else that we'll talk about at a different time, Mercedes. But that'll be what it is. Dustin Rhodes came out with the Von Erichs. I don't know if this is going to be a full tag team, but it looked cool.
Interesting.
Interesting. The Von Erichs are on AEW or on TV. Being on TV is the win. I'm not counting that is the win per se, but them being on TV with Dustin is the win, right? Okay. One more thing. Cassidy versus Matt Taven in the death match. Roddy's going after the title of Revolution. So Cassidy decided, hey, I'm going to have a death match with Matt Taven tonight. Whatever. It was amazing. You know? They left him chocolates that turned out to be thumbtacks. Shout out to Chuck E. T. And Cassidy wins. And my good friend, who I'll shout out later on TikTok, had said this, but I'll repeat it. I am the biggest fan of Orange Cassidy now. You know, mm-hmm. I said he kind of proved it to me at the Ospreay match way back, but right now he is in his time. He is in his time. Nobody goes out there and puts on a match like Orange Cassidy. I mean, he's captivating. The gimmick has reached as high as it's going to reach, and he can absolutely lace up with the best of them.
Absolutely.
And so it's been every match had a story. You could tell where every story was going. None of it seemed too played out, except for maybe the last thing we'll talk about. But before that, we got to get to Sting's last match and that story. EVPs fought Top Flight. EVPs beat Top Flight. I like that they spent the program dressed in the suits that they beat Darby in last week that were covered in blood. You would think Darby would be out for a week or two, but Revolution's coming up, so Darby came right back. He gave his promo about what the EVP's mission statement was when they first got here, to create a better place for wrestling and all this other stuff, and how when they re-signed, it was about good money, less travel, and they seem to have lost their way. Basically, shitted on all their management and said that Cody was running it the right way when he was here. Somebody had mentioned that has nothing to do with story. I don't care. I think it feeds into what their heel character consists of. And I feel like after Sting's last match, maybe they'll carry this over one last month and have it be Darby against the Bucks out for revenge. I would like some scenario where Darby gets over on his own after leaving Sting, because we're not getting the Sting versus Darby match. But what are your thoughts on like them not doing Sting and Darby and this new heel Matt and Nick Jackson? Because I like the fact that they've made subtle changes that make them more assholes. Like, apparently, we're not washing our wrestling clothes and we're coming out in suits, and it's not even the Young Bucks on the card anymore. Now it's Matt and Nicholas Jackson. So
yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it's like the little subtle changes that make them even more assholes. Because if anyone can have asshole down pack, it's the Bucks.
Yeah,
they've had it under lock and key for quite some time now. They've been very good at portraying douchebags.
Mm-hmm.
So to just add a little more of a caveat to just up the douchiness a little bit more, it's a good thing. You know, if you can make it fresh while you're still being a douchebag, that's even better. So I have no problems with it. I will say, though, I do have the slightest inkling that we may still possibly get a Darby and Sting match. I have a very, it's, I want to say it's like a glimmer of hope, Like, mm-hmm. if you've ever seen Dumb and Dumber, where the guy's so you're telling me there's a chance? You're telling me
there's a chance. Yeah.
That's where I'm at with it. Like, it's a long shot, but I still think some way, somehow, we can get a Darby Sting match out of the whole ordeal. It's just got to happen the right way.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to do it, don't tease it that you're going to do it. Just run it how you're running it. But yeah, I still have that small glimmer of hope that something can happen where we can get Darby and Sting in Sting's last match.
Man, I really hope so. I think it would mean so much to Darby to get that rub on the way out. And it would really culminate all of the work they've done together to give Darby a solid run by himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But let's talk about less fortunate things. Jeff versus Sammy Guevara.
Yeah. Very interesting. I mean, I'm gonna let you take the reins and explain how this all went down, but interesting.
Yeah. So they were having an amazing match. I'll say that. Because I did see how good of a match it was. I saw the high ladder spot that was very Jeff Hardy that Sammy Guevara did. It was almost in homage to Jeff with the super tall ladder and the table spot with the swanton. And they were really putting it together to a point.
Mm-hmm.
And then on, they always say it's some of the basic moves, right? But it wasn't a ladder spot. It wasn't a table spot. Jeff is in the middle of the ring. And Guevara does... was it a backflip or a 450? Was it a 450?
It was a shooting star press.
It was a shooting star press. There we go. I'm thinking in reverse. Sammy Guevara is hitting the shooting star press. Historically, one of the harder moves to hit. If you follow the Billy Kidman story. But one of the many problems with the shooting star press is how you land. And unfortunately for Sammy Guevara and Jeff, his knee came down, or shin and knee, really. It was a combination. Kind of came smack dab down on Jeff Hardy's face and knocked him clean out. Which puts a damper on a really good match.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, also, we would know, it's not the first Sammy Guevara blunder in the ring. So how are you feeling about the first unsafe moment in quite a minute with a Hardy? It's not even his first goal.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say that. We can't even say it's the first one with a Hardy.
Yeah.
Sammy's done good.
he's been doing good. He's
keeping
been
doing people good safe.
Yeah.
Up until this moment, I mean, look, as much as I want to shit on the dude and like call him just say he's kind of reckless, at the end of the day, man, this is wrestling. You know, accidents happen. This wasn't intentional. Just like right. I think the Matt blunder was a little more intentional than the Jeff blunder, if I can be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
Can I understand why Matt was a little pissed off at the whole ordeal? Absolutely. I mean, Matt has every right to be. You know, he was the first one to get the Sammy blunder. Now, baby brother's catching it too, so you're going to defend the baby brother. I get it, but it's wrestling. It's wrestling, man. It's not ballet, you know.
It's not stuff, ballet.
Stuff like this happens all the time. You know, you got to try to keep your person safe to the best of your ability. And thankfully, this was at the end of the match and not in the beginning, because it could have been an even more tense and awkward situation had it come within the first 10 minutes of the match.
Yeah, it could have been much worse. It could have been much worse. And at the end of the day, like,
I mean, obviously, you have to, obviously, you need to work on keeping your people safe, because it's not the first time you've done this. It's not the first time you've done this with a Hardy.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's an accident. These things happen. I don't think anybody needs to be too upset at Sammy for it. Just be glad that, you know, everybody was able to walk away from this still on their own two feet.
I think that's the thing to take away from it. Sammy's done a great job at trying to hurt people less.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this is just something we run into sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Kofi had the same thing happen to when he accidentally squarely drop kicked Giovanni Vinci.
Yeah.
And he was out for a little bit. So it's just mistakes that happen.
I was going to say this happened twice in January, back to back for WWE. So, you know, these things happen.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the good thing is Jeff was able to walk out. And he's going to be okay. And unfortunately, this is just another roadblock in Jeff's way. But I will say, again, overall, AEW put on a great show tonight. I mean, not tonight, but on Wednesday. And
they did.
They put on a great rampage up until the point where Jeff got hurt. So I got to give them credit for that. The product is improving. And it is. I can't hold you on that.
They've done very well, especially.
But on the bigger news, the Perth predictions, man.
Yeah,
you got to get to the chamber.
As we said, Perth is coming up this Saturday, and not a huge card by any stretch, but some big matches still to be had. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there's only four matches and a segment slated for the card.
Four matches.
So I'm not going to go through the segment. Yeah, they're rumoring there could be a fifth match, but you know, as of today, as of recording, there's only four in a segment. Mm-hmm. So first match we can get to for predictions is the Undisputed Tag Team Championships, the Judgment Day of Damian Priest and Finn Balor versus British Strong Style, Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne returning.
Big Strong Boys.
No more Butch. No more Pete Butch. Dunne, Big Strong Boys.
Cruiserweight. Who's your money on?
For reasons of bias.
Say it.
And for reasons of just because I want to say it, I'm going Judgment Day. I'm going Judgment Day, dude. I love me some Pete Dunne. Tyler Bate, you know. Again, reasons of bias, but I just feel like Judgment Day needs to keep the titles.
They got to keep until Mania.
Yeah, like it's not the time to let it go. Mania would be the perfect time to let it go. Whoever it is they fight at Mania, that is. But like I said, I'm going Judgment Day. I can't complain. They've been doing great. They deserve to keep this ride going.
We'll talk about it later. But yeah, my money's on the Judgment Day as well. I don't even think, honestly, I think they're just going to have a solid, like, B-plus match. And then,
yeah, I mean, you know, you can
close it out. They might even win clean. Probably.
I could see them winning clean.
I'm going to hold you. They might even win clean.
I could see them winning clean or winning on a mess up, but, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next match we have to discuss is the Women's World Championship match of Nia Jax and Rhea Ripley. They're calling this the Irresistible Force meets the immovable object once again. Or the Irresistible Force and the Immovable Mommy. I don't know, whatever you want to call it.
Mommy. That's
So, Stevie, I'll let you pick first, man. Who you running with on this one?
Rhea's holding that thing to a Mania, but man, am I so upset that it's not Nia and Rhea in Mania. I mean, like, it just made so much sense to me, and it puts me in a really awkward place. I mean, I'm gonna go with Mommy because we'll talk about why later, but I don't know. I get it, but I'm kind of mad they pulled the trigger so early. I gotta tell you, I'm a little upset about it. What are you thinking?
You know, everybody, I'm pretty sure everyone listening to this and everyone who's a friend of the show knows how much I am not a fan of Nia Jax. But I have to agree with you. I don't see why they pulled the trigger on it early. I would have thought this would have been a Mania thing. It just felt like a better story for Mania, if I could be completely honest.
It just felt like a better story. I don't feel like you can create another story with somebody in a month that big.
I think what they could have did, in all honesty, was remove somebody who just came back from the chamber, not saying any names, Liv Morgan, and like had Liv Morgan attack Rhea on Raw because Rhea took her out, and then set this match up, have the match in the have the match at the chamber be Liv and Rhea, and then put Nia in the chamber and have Nia win the chamber. I think that would have been
much better,
a much better way, because then you could have Nia, Becky final two in the chamber, go on to Mania, or Nia, Becky final two, Nia goes over, goes to Mania. You could have did it that way.
Nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, and no harm, no foul to anybody else. But yeah, I'm going mommy on this one. I think mommy's gonna keep the belt till Mania, probably even win at Mania. I don't even know.
And the crazy thing is, it's only the pay per view that makes the difference for me. If this was in Mania, my money would be on Nia Jax. But because it's Elimination Chamber, you know she's not losing until WrestleMania, man. So,
but the caveat, people never win in their hometown.
Yeah, but I mean,
but it's Rhea in a whole other country.
Listen, I'll put it like this. Listen, it's like mommy is always on top.
Yeah, and I'm not mad at it because it's not Mania, so I'm not mad at it. We still got to get to Mania, but
I'm and even Bad Bunny will win in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, true.
You gotta. It might just be, you know what I mean. Triple H is a different. Look, well, I can't say the same thing for some people.
If I'm not mistaken, Priest is from Puerto Rico.
That's true too.
Someone had to take
that. That's true too. Somebody from Puerto Rico lost. You're right.
But yeah, we both got mommy on that, so that's no gripes there. So the next match we have the women's chamber match, which as of recording is not complete.
Mm-hmm.
We still have Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Tiffany Stratton,
Tiffy,
Naomi,
and
a sixth person to be named.
Mm-hmm.
So
Who's your money on? Who's that sixth person?
Oh, see,
You know who it is. It got to be one. It's only got to be one person.
Who's it got to be? Go ahead.
Mercedes Moné, man. You know she's got to be Mercedes. It's got to be. No. My money's on Jade. My money's on it being Jade.
Okay.
But my money's not on Jade winning. But I do expect the last person to be Jade just because they announced the matches for everyone else but this last person that they're keeping a secret. And the fact that she's been on both shows, all the shows, and hasn't signed anywhere. I think she'll sign at to Monday Night Raw as the last addition to the Elimination Chamber. Because if it's not Sasha Banks, it has to be Jade. There's just nobody else. But as far as who I think is winning the chamber, I have no clue unless they pull an Edge. Unless they pull an Edge, I have no idea who's winning the chamber. But if it was me on creative, I'm taking out Liv Morgan, Kofi Kingston style, and putting myself in that last chamber.
See,
I'm pissed off Nia Jax that already lost to Rhea Ripley, coming out there furious, beating down on little Liv Morgan, and putting herself in the chamber and winning the chamber to fight her again at WrestleMania. Because if they pull a swerve on the Rhea match and she loses in like a way that's like, you didn't really beat her, but you beat her. If they do it in like a Samoa Joe way where she survives Nia Jax and doesn't beat her, and then Nia Jax angry beats up the chick in the Elimination Chamber, if they do the Women's Chamber last, have Nia Jax in the chamber and win. And then even if you want, you can run a triple threat at WrestleMania because Liv's whole story is that she's coming for Rhea Ripley. She's the only other person in that chamber with eyes on Rhea Ripley specifically, because mm-hmm. she wants vengeance for Rhea Ripley taking her out. If you have Nia Jax take out Liv Morgan early, put herself in the chamber and win, they can go to the chamber. Liv Morgan can come back a couple weeks after that. They make that a triple threat match at Mania, and then Rhea can lose the title without really, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They'll be attacking Rhea, but you can give the title to Nia with an asterisk beside it because it wasn't a one-on-one. It was a triple threat. And then Liv and Rhea can take it for a little bit while Nia is on a path of destruction. And then maybe do Nia versus Rhea 2 at SummerSlam.
See, I was thinking the same way, but opposite. Like opposite Liv. I was thinking Nia come in, Nia take somebody out. I was going Tiffany Stratton.
You wanted to take out Tiffany?
Honestly, yeah, because Tiffany's NXT.
Yeah, but Tiffany officially signed SmackDown, though. You got to remember, some of these people are officially signing contracts now.
It's still, new girl on the block, you know, you don't just come right
no
in.
No harm, no foul.
And get this opportunity. You got to put work in like everybody else is doing.
That's true.
Just because you won one.
Yeah, but this is the part you're not understanding, though, dude. This is Tiffany Stratton. This, you know, she's the center of the universe. You know, when she's out there, it's Tiffany time.
Not in Nia's universe.
Unless they cross, but I'm just saying.
It can happen. I would say take out the fresh blood, because otherwise, you know, the fresh blood is going to be the first one out of the chamber.
I'm trying to think about this, because who's in it, we said? Because I think Tiffany can take Becky.
You got Becky,
because Becky came down to NXT, took the belt from her. Right?
Yeah, you got Becky, Naomi, Liv, Tiffy, Nia, or not Nia. Who was it? It was Becky,
Bianca,
Liv, Tiffany, Naomi, and then the one person that we don't know that we're saying.
Okay, so move past my fantasy booking. Here's my outside perspective on the women's elimination chamber match if they don't go with the edge route of adding Nia Jax. Because then, if I'm assuming Becky Lynch is going to win just because of the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
But where does that leave all these other women? Like, when you look at the women that are in there, they have stacked the deck for the Women's Elimination Chamber. I mean, it's nothing but powerhouses. Nothing but powerhouses. So where is everyone else's direction going once they find out who's fighting Rhea Ripley?
It does
what
make
do
it
a Becky. What do you do with Bianca? What do you do with Liv? What do you do with all these other people?
It does make it a tough dynamic, because we don't want another what the hell were they doing? Not the Mae Young Classic. Was it the Moolah Battle Royal?
Right. The Moolah Battle Royal.
Yeah.
Didn't Moolah get a bad rap? I feel like they changed it to something. Who did they name it as first that ended up having a bad rap?
It was Moolah.
It was Moolah?
It was Moolah.
And they didn't turn it to the Mae Young, because they have a Mae Young Classic. They turned it to something else. I don't know. But
we don't want another battle royal.
And nobody wants to see people that big in a battle royal.
Yeah.
But are you going to book matches for all those people? Like, we got nothing but horses.
And you can't throw three random teams together of women for a tag team.
That's
title
what I'm
match.
Saying. So you can't just turn them all into tag teams by WrestleMania.
You haven't done any of that work. Yeah, it's kind of a tough thing. So they put themselves in an awkward predicament. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I say my winner's Nia by coming in and taking somebody out.
So neither of us are opting to like really answer this. No one has like a legit, like, because my thing is like, only because of the press conference, I think Bianca could go over. Until that press conference, it wasn't a thought in my head. But it could also be Bianca, because Bianca just got a new Hulu show. But If it's not Nia Jax, possibly. I don't know who it could be. I just don't know who it could be.
Ah, yeah.
But yeah, no. But if you if you had to choose outside of Nia, if you had to choose outside of Nia Jax, you got to choose somebody. You choosing Becky too? It sucks. That sucks so bad. I do not want to see that. I don't want to be that guy, but I just it's not the match I'd be looking for. It really is not. It really is, especially after seeing her get decked by Nia Jax. You know what? You know what I'm saying? Like, you really gonna do this? I don't know. I don't know.
You know what? Just because you say Becky and I say Becky, I'll change it to Liv just to have two different answers.
All right. I feel better about Liv. I feel like it would be full circle for Liv.
And then.
All right.
And then for the men's Rumble, the men's chamber, we have Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Bobby Lashley, LA Knight, Kevin Owens, Logan Paul.
My God.
God, don't make this who I think they're going to make it.
Who's the last match? Did everybody qualify?
Yeah, that's the six.
Right? Who are you going with? Who do you think it is?
God, I don't, because everything's pointing towards Drew, and I don't.
Everything is pointing towards Drew. Everything is pointing towards Drew. I will say that everything is pointing towards Drew. So if they go a different way, I'm gonna be fairly surprised.
You know what?
They've been shoving Drew down our throats for the past I don't know how many months.
I know the answer I'm going to say is wrong. Okay. I'm putting it out there. I know the prediction I'm giving is wrong. Not saying that it's 1% that it could be right. No, I know it's not going to happen. I'm going to say it anyway. Just because I don't want Drew. Give me LA Knight. I don't care. I know it's bias. Give me LA Knight. Case closed. That's where I'm leaving it. Just because my hands are pointing, is they're pointing at Drew.
Mm-hmm. So it will be a swerve to go LA Knight.
Yeah.
This is so weird for me. This is so weird to just process, because at this point, I'm thinking about how Seth and Cody are going to work. That the Elimination Chamber seems like it almost seems like an afterthought. Which I got to tell you, if Drew wins, then it kind of is an afterthought. Like, it's so weird how story works. So, if Seth is more involved with being the shield for Cody, Drew becomes this underlooked. Drew is reverting himself down to like The Miz, back when John and The Rock were going at it. Like, he's become so I don't even know what you call it. Like,
he's just become so irrelevant that he's mildly
annoying.
Irrelevant.
Annoying and irrelevant. So irrelevant that the only reason you are relevant is because everybody knows he was the guy saying, "I'm not where I want to be because of somebody else." And if that gets you all the way to Mania to winning the belt, I'm going to be pissed. Because it's like, yo, we were sick of you. And because we were sick of you, you just stopped succeeding after we stopped messing with you. And then to be like, nobody cares about my reign.
Yes.
Even though I held it down. It's like, well, yeah, Drew, nobody cares anymore. You were there because he was a placeholder, bro. Like, he was there until we found somebody better. And then we found somebody better. You can't be mad nobody wants you anymore. And then they ran that angle And I was like, okay, this is going to result in him winning. And he still lost everything. I still haven't seen him win a match besides the qualifying one where he took out, where he took dude out. But even then, it's like, are we really giving this dude, is he really complaining his way to the top? Like, are we really doing this? Like, I get he's a clear bad guy. I get there's a clear good guy. But do we really want, like, this sore winner champion in Drew? Like, I didn't ask for this. All I'm saying is I didn't ask for this.
Not really.
I would much rather Kevin Owens win or something. But you know what? Kevin's the thing here is wrestling math is at an all-time high. Because you know Kevin and Logan got to go at it again. Both of them are out. You know, my money's actually on Randy Orton and Solo. So I'm not counting Randy. Randy's out. That's three right away. Bobby's nowhere near the picture. Bobby should be, but Bobby's nowhere near this picture. Love you, Bobby.
No, don't think it's gonna happen. Not at all.
You're probably gonna end up being the guy to go after Imperium, to be honest. Even if that's possible, I don't know what they're gonna do with Bobby either. But because nobody knows what's going on with Bobby besides Karrion Kross, I'm not counting Bobby. So that's four. Who do we got left? Drew and who's left? Who else qualified? It was Drew. It was Randy Drew, who's taken out.
Bobby.
It was Bobby who's taken out. Yeah. It was LA Knight. Oh, and LA Knight. That leaves you with LA Knight and so I mean, that leaves you with LA Knight and Drew. And I think honestly, LA Knight is getting AJ Styles. So that only leaves Drew. And wrestling math, that only leaves Drew. Because I don't see AJ, unless AJ and Carl are gonna fight at WrestleMania. I see this as AJ Styles and LA Knight, because even when LA Knight was qualifying, he lost to Drew because of LA Knight. I mean, even when AJ was fighting Drew for the qualifying, he lost because of LA Knight. So again, it was this situation of, I'm in this good position and you're stepping over me to cost me a win. So I feel like AJ's going to pull something to make it AJ and LA Knight at WrestleMania. Only leaves Drew. But who? My question to you is this: do you want to see Drew versus Seth? You want to see it?
No.
Do we want that as a main event at WrestleMania?
What, Drew versus Seth? No, I don't want to see it.
Because I would rather Seth fight The Rock, because that's the story we're leaning into. Like, why would we give us somebody like Drew as a replacement to that? I mean, I don't want this to be us shitting on Drew, but like, dude, there's clearly better stories out there.
I guess. So guys, thank you for tuning in, for checking it out. If you don't follow us on any of the platforms, make sure you do. You find us on TikTok, on X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, DangerousJobbersWebsite.com. And anywhere you can listen to a podcast on any type of streaming service. So with that being said, stay up, stay blessed. As always, stay dangerous.
People have been asking me to be the best in the world.
Why, Eddie, why?
I'm